You're listening to Spilling Ink.
Welcome, everybody. Wait, sorry, my dogs are already barking in the background. Welcome to another episode of Spilling Ink, the talk show that takes you behind the book to meet the authors and other professionals in the publishing world. Tonight, we have two returning guests. We have the always funny Timothy Chismar.
It's me!
Yes. And Tim, if you could get a little bit closer to the camera, I would really appreciate it. Just a little bit. That's even better. That's perfect.
Good. I didn't want to be annoying.
And then we have the fabulous Joshua Pantelaresco.
He disappeared on me there. So how you doing?
I'm doing good, Josh. And then, as always, Katie Salitis. How are you doing, Katie?
I'm boiling out here in Vegas, dying.
It's a very pleasant 80 degrees here in Michigan right now, so it's not too bad.
You shut your mouth.
What are you guys at right out there right now? 105, 106?
You know what? The thermometer broke. I can't even tell you.
But it's we're about 105 out here too.
But it's a dry heat. It's not the same.
No, just turn a hairdryer on your face all day. That's exactly what it's like.
So both of these gentlemen have been on the show before, but if you haven't seen them before, we definitely want to introduce each of them. So we will start with the man with the loud shirt and the louder voice. Tim, tell us about yourself.
Oh, I didn't realize I was going to have to do the work. I thought you were going to like read a paragraph or something and I would just look pretty, but all right. Okay. I'm the co-chair of the Horror Writers Association Las Vegas chapter. I am the founder of Spooky Ninja Kitty, a small print. We've got three books coming out now, and then four more books in October. I am a speaker. I do events, and I'm on a panel at San Diego Comic-Con, and yay me, I do things and write.
Excellent. What about you, Josh? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I write stuff and podcasts too. I regularly do a podcast called Just Joshing, where I interview authors and other creative types, everything from Darkwing Duck to Demonic Possession and everything in between. I currently have three books out: The Watcher, Storm Dancer, and The Wandering God, all courtesy of Mirrorworld Books. Wandering God just came out early in the spring. The my next book, The Cloud Diver, comes out in the fall. And that's pretty much the short and sweet of it with me.
You've always got your pitch just like nailed. Every time you come on the show, you're like, boom, boom, boom.
I know who I am, Katie. I know who I am. It's really. And also because I've been done podcasting, I get a lot of practice, lot of practice doing my stuff.
I don't know. I've got plenty of practice and I still haven't nailed it. People ask me what I write and I'm like, I write scary stuff, you know, scary stuff. That's what I got. Oh my goodness. Yeah, you guys, speaking of scary stuff, you guys have to see this. This is the most terrifying creature on the planet.
What the heck?
Our three little orphans.
That's not fair, dude.
Well, yes. This is Pink, Gray, and Noe. But they were orphaned at about 2 weeks old, so we've been bottle feeding them for a couple weeks while we wait for them to get old enough to have new homes, but they are just adorable.
Yes.
Katie was showing her cute dog with the like big giant ears. And now you've got the cats. I got nothing. Are you? You can't eat your cat.
listen, Tim. I got nothing too. I'm kind of jealous because I actually miss having cats. But
I can't think of any.
There's one available.
There's still one available, Josh.
I live kind of far away.
What's the international shipping rate for cats?
Hey, that'll fit in a flat rate shipping box, no problem.
Yes.
Okay.
Did Tim leave to try to find something cute in his house?
I think he did, yeah.
That poor man.
He's
poor
not
single
feeling cute enough. So since we're all showing off stuff, let me show off my latest. So I recently put out a weapon of magical destruction, and yesterday in the mail, I got book two. Now, this one doesn't come out for another week and a half, but I got them both.
Oh, look at Tim found a animal.
I got nothing. Jeez.
That's awesome. Oh, it's a husky.
Yes.
Oh, that's fantastic, Tim. Good job. And good job on your paperbacks, Katie.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I know they can't compete with fuzzy animals, but you know.
Yeah.
That's great. You you have the agents of asset, right? Is that what you're talking about? Cool.
I thought there was going to be some joke in there, the way your face looked for a minute there, Tim, but there was nothing.
No.
You look like you were up to something.
He's having way too much fun with that stuffed animal.
Yeah. He's playing with the stuffed animal. He's got more important things on his mind than talking about, you know, assets and what you can do with them.
Well, you guys have seen the stuffed animal scene in Deadpool, right? I have a feeling that's where this came from. No one's seen Deadpool.
I haven't seen Deadpool 2 yet.
I saw it. I got one of those little rip-off boxes that get all the newest movies. So I just watched Ant-Man and the Wasp on it the other day. It was pretty cool.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
I still haven't seen the original Ant-Man, so I can't see the new one yet.
Well, I really didn't like the original. I
get the feeling you probably could.
Yeah, absolutely you could, yeah. He's a guy, shrinks, hangs out with ants. You're good. All right.
I was told, now don't spoil it for me because I haven't seen it yet, but I was told that all you need to do is see the trailers for Ant-Man and the Wasp and you pretty much know what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that kind of that way with every big action movie that comes out?
Well, in particular with Marvel, they had the snapping at the end of Infinity War. And so this movie is supposed to be a palate cleanser, to be just fun, silly, a good time. And it's just meant to, because it was so dark, the end of Infinity War.
Now, does this happen after the snapping or is this before the snapping? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I like that, the snapping. I've never heard that, but that's fantastic.
That's what us in the comic industry call it.
Yes.
Speaking of comics, let's talk about San Diego Comic-Con coming up.
Yay!
Tim's going.
Tim is actually a speaker at San Diego Comic-Con. Is that right? How in the hell did you land this gig? And make sure you speak slowly and use small words for us authors.
Oh, well, I've been going for like 5 or 6 years. And I'm a panelist at a lot of different Comic-Cons. So I've never paid to go to a convention or an event or anything. And even besides San Diego Comic-Con, the very next weekend is Midsummer Scream, which is a giant horror convention. And I'm, you know, a featured speaker at that as well. So here's the basic. If any of you guys want to be, you know, speakers or on panels or present, just network, just meet people, because the people who are putting together panels, here's a shocker, just like you guys booking your show here or, you know, him booking, joshing around, you guys need entertaining people to talk to. So that's what they do for these panels. If somebody's putting together a panel on magic in fiction, well, then Katie's a perfect fit, you know? If somebody's putting together a panel about bald guys holding kittens, you know? So they will have a panel that's the right fit for you. So for me, I'm a horror guy. I'm a pro wrestling guy. I'm a writer guy. I'm a filmmaker guy. So I fit on a lot of different – when people are putting together a panel, they know I'm not – shy and I'm pretty outspoken, so they'll approach me about being on their panels. And so it's a plus for them that they get somebody who's, you know, dynamic, and it's a plus for me because I don't have to pay to go to the damn thing, and I get to talk to all these people and it looks good on a resume. And so that's really, there's no secret. I've never applied, I've never asked, I've just hung out with people, and when they use you, other people see that you're, it's that social proof is what they call it. So I've been proven that I can do it. So other people want me to do it, and it just never ends.
So how do you initially get your name in the running? Because you said you never apply or anything. How do you, you know, how do you get your foot in the door that first time?
You meet somebody.
Yes. Exactly. Okay. One of the very first cons I went to conventions, a friend of mine had an extra pass and said, hey, come with me. And I met some people there. I remember in particular something I've been doing for years. I write for First Comics News, which is a really great pop culture website that has – and I encourage everyone to go to it, firstcomicsnews.com. And I have a column there. The guy who's the owner of the whole company just happened to be sitting – and they get over 2 million views per month, by the way, on the website. He just happened to be sitting next to me in a food court at a Comic-Con. I think it was WonderCon. And we started talking, and I shared a couple of stories just to a stranger. And he mentioned that he's always looking for content on the website. And I ended up with a column. And now every time he does a panel at these Comic-Cons, I'm on it. And just – if nothing else, just based on the fact that I have a column on First Comics News, I can apply as media for any event. Amazing Comic-Con that just happened out here in Las Vegas. I was media for all 3 days because I'm doing a write-up with pictures from the event. So I was interviewing that girl from Deadpool and Rob Liefeld, who had created Deadpool and Shatterstar and the Green Power Ranger and all these people, just because I have this column on a website that I talked to a guy at a food court.
Wow. It's all about who you know.
The takeaway here is you cannot be an introvert if you want to get anything done.
Well, it's kind of like when I was living in Phoenix, it's kind of the same thing. I was covering Comic Block, and I was, because of my credentials on the media, I was able to get into that show for free, and I got to cover and do interviews for 3 days. People that do interview stuff and do like content stuff, law conventions tend to be very open to the idea of getting any kind of press for their event, no matter how big or how small. Some conventions, there is an event up here called When Words Collide. It's an author conference, right? They encourage authors to actually submit panels and do things. And so that's where I'm getting a lot of cutting my teeth doing panels and stuff like that. Is I'll make a good impression, hopefully. And then, I get asked to do other panels, and that has actually happened. Tim is completely right about the one really big detail. If you show that you can do these things and do them well, I still want to go to that convention. It's one I've always wanted to do, actually. But if you show that you can do it, a lot of people will come and ask you to do different things. I'm always now, like when I'm doing to different shows, I'm getting asked to do podcasting a lot now, which again, that's something I never thought I'd ever be asked to do, but like, okay, sure. I'll make people do tongue twisters about Dr. Seuss for about 20 minutes and then talk about podcasting. It's great.
But will you do it with a ham? Will you do it with a goat? Will you do it in a boat?
Possibly. Actually, I'll mention this right now. So I pitched me and a musician did a quote unquote Dr. Seuss off. I pitched the idea of doing what we did to the convention head because he watched us do it. He liked it so much. So in August, there's going to be an hour at that convention where I'm going to have a little trophy that people are going to compete with say or don't say and box and socks and try to get people to be goofy for about an hour. So, I mean, you never know where things can actually lead you just by trying stuff out.
That's true. But it's hard for us in the introverted spectrum to reach out and just talk to people, because most of the time, especially for me, I'm like,
Katie, you are known
unless I have to be.
Come on.
You don't even know, dude.
Oh, she's an introvert, all right. She's a lot like me, where when I'm on, I'm on, but that's not my natural state. My natural state is chill.
well, it's a practice skill, because I know I sound like a loud, obnoxious dude, but I'm actually pretty quiet when I'm on my own. But I also recognize, I mean, it's just the truth. It's a greasy wheel gets the oil. It's just the way it is. And so if you don't go out there and go, okay, I'm going to be me. Now, I'm going to be me. I'm going to introduce myself. I'm not going to be afraid to make an ass of myself. But it's the worst case scenario. You go out there, you do that. Like, again, sometimes you strike out. But more often than not, you'll find people like you that want to connect and kind of want to interact. And when you do that, opportunities present themselves. And that's usually – and it's in this it's a necessity because we live in a world now where it's easier to be more connected in some ways than ever. And so there's almost an expectation that you have to be willing to go out there and be on some level, I guess, entertaining. Right. Or at least outspoken on some level.
Now, the striking out thing, I'm very familiar with that. And we will not mention the name of the people that I talked to that I struck out with very hardcore at Phoenix. But it was one of those where I took a chance, but I had liquid courage to start me off.
That's
and
always
I
bad
took
idea.
A chance and I bombed hard.
But liquid courage is never a good idea doing that. Ever. Nothing good comes from liquid courage. I mean, you might feel better in that moment, but usually, you know,
don't you guys have a little web stream you do where you drink? Like the whole purpose of it is to drink?
Yes.
Yes. Every third Friday of the month, we do drinks with authors.
I think you're talking to the wrong people, Josh.
But that was a situation where I had been trying to reach out to these people for a long time and I was getting ignored. And I knew they were going to be at Phoenix Comic Con. I knew I was going to be right there with them. I could walk up, shake their hands, hand them my card. And it took a little bit for me to drum up the courage. And when I finally did, I just shoved my foot straight down my throat.
I think there's a fetish for that.
Not in the writing world, apparently.
Well, I got stories. Well, I can't.
But the thing is, people are. Everyone has their own notions they bring to the table. So that thing that you did to upset those people might have won you big favor with somebody else. The first thing that comes to mind is when I signed that traditional book deal. I signed a 3-book deal with a small publisher, and she was pissed off. See if any of you see where she's coming from. I happen to know celebrities, and the celebrities were willing to write me blurbs for the books. And so I reached out to them. I got blurbs. I took them back to her, and she was angry at me because somehow she felt that slighted her company that I brought these celebrity blurbs. And we ended up fighting about it, and I ended up parting ways with her because I brought her celebrity blurbs.
I think you told us this story last time, but it doesn't get any more confusing than that, really. That is ridiculous, man.
I'm a horror writer, and I laid out a blurb from Clive Barker, and she was pissed off at me.
So she doesn't like book sales?
It's an ego thing. I think she felt that she wanted to go after them, and she was insulted that I knew bigger names than she did. I don't know.
It sounds weird, but eh.
But that's my point. So my point is, for Katie, you didn't do anything wrong. The same thing might have earned you favor with somebody else. You know.
True. Very true.
But sometimes a bad ending is actually a good beginning. So I did a GoFundMe for my teeth, and I ended up confronting some stuff in my past. There's an author I will not mention by name that did not take kindly to my story, and I ended up, and so it didn't end well with me and the author, but oddly, I think in an odd way, it made me more sympathetic, and people actually ended up helping me out with my teeth more as a result of him doing what he did. Even though it was a very bad moment, it became something that became really – it worked out in the long run. And not everything goes according to what you envision or have in mind, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad thing, right? Sometimes it opens doors that you may not see for years to come. I've been doing interviews for a long, long time, and I had this idea when I did this. I had this idea for a poetry book with some illustrations that would go on Smashwords. There was no master plan beyond all this. And then the first person that bought it, she goes to me, "So what do you plan to do with it?" And I gave her the same wonderful master plan. I had interviewed her 3 years ago, And she goes, well, I got this deal with Ingram. I'll publish your book. And just like, so everything you do, good, bad, or indifferent, they do open doors. They may not be obvious right away, but eventually what ends up happening is, you know, you going out and doing something will just create a ripple effect. And whatever that ripple effect will be, putting your foot in your mouth right now might seem terrible, but maybe, just maybe, somewhere down the road, it'll lead you to the right people. Chances are, whoever these people were, probably weren't for you anyway.
No, right?
So you'll no, I'm just saying, I'm just being like sometimes things happen for that reason, because for you guys, for whatever reason, probably wouldn't fit. So it happened. It's shitty in the moment, and I'm sorry. But I mean, tomorrow, next year, someone go, I remember you. I love that you spoke your mind. You're little, like they go, they might go, you're a little strong, but I love that you spoke your mind. I love that that was who you are. And then they might start talking to you. And then who knows? Right.
Well, and see, and that's one of my biggest issues is I don't go anywhere and do things, you know, outside of, you know, as far as in the writing world, I don't go to conventions. I don't go and meet people, and I don't know where to start even in doing it. So, you know, I do my writing in my office, and I do my reading, and I go to work and do the family thing, but I never really get out of my comfort zone here at home to go talk to people about it. And I feel like I'll never come across those opportunities because I never go and meet people, you know? And, and so I've got to find a way to do that.
That's where,
whereabouts in Michigan do you live? Like where around?
I'm in Holland, Michigan, which is on the west coast of Michigan.
Okay, so I know for a fact that Grand Rapids, Novi, Detroit do have a convention circuit. And there's I know at least one dude I think you'd get along with really, really well there if you ever had a chance to meet him face-to-face. And they do regular do the circuit, and these are people, again, that have created opportunities for themselves there. Like, one of the hardest things, and this is something like as just an adult, we have to realize we don't, when we get comfortable, we don't do the things we need to do to evolve. So if you're comfortable, right, and nothing's happening, chances are you need to put yourself in situations where you are a little uncomfortable. Hopefully nothing that overwhelms you, but just the fact that, okay, I have now to go out there. I have to go do these things. I have to seek these things out, right? Because
nothing gained, right?
You gain. Well, okay, for me, I just did my third live podcast. It was at Oakland Mall. It was the Romantic Authors. We talked about this off the air. I don't know a thing about romance. Yeah, see what Tim's got? He's exactly right.
Tim, you got to say something so we can see your image better.
Something, here I am, something, saying something. Where the magic happens, where your comfort zone is.
So how do you get from your comfort zone to where the magic happens? You know, how do you know you're going the right direction?
So hold on. What makes you uncomfortable?
People.
Ask yourself that question.
The outdoors, people.
Leaving the house?
a finger up your butt.
Step one.
Well, that could be nice, Tim.
Oh.
Wait a minute. Well, that's not this kind of show, guys.
I'll talk to you later.
Later.
but no, like, for example, he was talking about the things around where you live. Introduce yourself, offer to put together, like, for example, writers groups. Have you done any presentations about tips on writing, tips on getting published? I mean, that's a pretty easy way to get out there, right?
No, and we have a small writers group actually here in Holland that I don't really interact with. I mean, I'm part of their group on Facebook, but I've never gone to any of their Facebook
regular meeting. Like, go to one. I once a month, I try to go out. We have this thing called Write Club, where a bunch of us get together at this cafe and we just write and we talk and we shoot the shit as we go. Like what eventually happens is it's about like as Tim had, where the magic happens. When people get together, right, it just sooner or later you're going to end up talking about something, right? It won't be just awkward pauses all night long or just writing all night. You're going to have a drink. You're going to talk or shoot the breeze, and you meet people and you make connections that way. And when you make those connections, well, then suddenly, like, let's say they have an event. Well, they know you. Like I said, you mentioned this earlier, the cute kitty animal shelter, like, panel. Now they know you're out there. They'll invite you to go do it, and that'll be your thing. Or maybe you'll meet somebody, you'll give a book to them, and they like your book, and they like that niche of what you're doing. And they'll have, like, an opportunity for you to go talk to people, you know?
The guy who put together Amazing Comic-Con has all these panels and events, and I pitched to do a panel about the best writers in Las Vegas for next year's Comic-Con. So we're talking about that right now. So if I get in there and I can book the best writers in Las Vegas, you know, I say the best writers because it's a nice hook, but it's going to be my friends who are the writers, you know? So that would be, you know, Katie and a couple of my other buddies on a panel. And then that'll give you a industry pass for the whole weekend to be a celebrity and behind the scenes and all that. And so that's a little step in the right direction. And, you know, so that's nothing magical. That's something you could do, just reaching out to the people who have an event and say, hey, I'm a writer and I could put this together, you know?
Okay. So I need you basically to come to Michigan, Tim, then, and you're the magic man.
I really hate snow, so let's not make it around snow time.
Well,
so
I mean
you're gonna hire Tim to be your publicist then.
But look at it from another angle. You have a show that you regularly talk to authors, myself, Tim, and many others, and you guys have had a significant number of episodes.
Right.
So you know a lot of people, right? And you've helped a lot of people.
But here's the thing.
If you decided to say, you had this idea, or one of us is doing an event somewhere, right? And you're in the vicinity, or it's an opportunity for you guys, it wouldn't be that hard to go, hey, listen, would you mind doing something for us? Because you're already kind of scratching my back, you're scratching Tim's back, you're giving us exposure. So, I mean, we in turn don't mind returning the favor to you guys.
Right. I mean, it's all about how you present yourself. If you say, I'm Jason, the co-host of the Spilling Ink show where we interview authors, bam, you're already a big deal.
Yeah, perception is key. We've talked about that a bunch of times too, the way people see you. That's why the awards and stuff mean something. I won some Reader's Choice Award, you know. It makes you look better. Whether or not it actually is a legitimate award, readers don't know. They just see the shiny badge on your book.
Well, it's the fact that, okay, with my podcast getting this award nomination, I mean, it's an award. I mean, I'm not going to see $1 zillion on it. I don't think so anyway. But that there's a limelight, even though no matter how big or how small, on me. What can I do with it? What can I do to make it people be more aware of what I am doing, right? How can I incorporate, like, other award nominees? Like, I've been trying to actually recruit award nominees for my podcast specifically because it ties in very nicely with what's going on with what I'm doing, what they're doing. It gives them a chance to highlight what's up with them. I get to look good as a result because I'm part of that. Right. And it's not like it's not a lot of work. It's just me going to somebody. Would you like to come on my podcast? I'll make an ass of myself. It'll be fun. Right. And a lot of times that's all it really takes. If you show that you are genuinely interested in what someone's doing, if you show that you're authentic in what you're doing, people automatically are going to be willing to at least give you a shot. Right. Whatever happens at that point happens. But even when it doesn't go well, it might lead somewhere anyway.
Well, and it's a big industry. So people, whatever little nerd geek niche that you're into, people are going to find out. Okay. So for example, I have a friend who worked on some pro wrestling projects that I was doing. I sold 6 episodes of a TV show to the Country Music Channel, a combined pro wrestling, stand-up comedy, all this stuff. So I know Rob Van Dam and guys like that. So a friend of mine who worked on that at San Diego Comic-Con this year is on a panel of the connection between pro wrestling and comic books. And, you know, I was the executive producer of the show. They didn't even invite me, but they invited this other guy. So I said, hi, and I'm going to go and celebrate it. But that's my point. Like, I had my friend work with me, and then he is now a celebrity about this thing that he was just a sidekick on. So, you know, that's kind of cool. Good for him, you know. But the point is, whatever you're into, if you love Doctor Strange or, you know, okay, they're making a movie about Morbius the Living Vampire right now, and it's being played by Jared Leto. I love Morbius. I love Morbius. I am the biggest Morbius fan in the world. That was my introduction to comics. That was the Midnight Suns. I have Morbius toys right here in my kitchen. I am a giant Morbius fan. So now that they're making the movie, and this isn't the only one, I have more. And I have a Morbius hanging in my car. But the point is, what I'm a geek about is becoming a movie. So now I'm being interviewed and talked to because I'm an expert on Morbius, the Living Vampire.
And the reason this works for the reason it works for Tim too, you can tell that's a genuine passion for more. That's genuine passion. You couldn't make that up if you wanted to, right? So people can feel that.
So let me ask you this, okay? Because we're veering into another area.
Here's
that
another one. Look,
fits
more
within
Morbius.
The panel.
more.
Oh my God, fanboy. Okay, so let's say you are able to pitch yourself as a speaker to a Comic-Con, but they're not going to have you speak on writing. They'll tell you, okay, we're doing, let's say, Doctor Who, which I'm a huge Doctor Who fan. So let's say Doctor Who is the topic. You're not going to get to speak about your books or anything like that, but you have a place on a Doctor Who panel. Would that be worth doing?
Okay. Well, so yeah, because I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt. Josh, go ahead.
All right. I'll go first. When I do my podcast, I very rarely talk, like, Kate, you've been on my show. I very rarely talk about books, strictly books, with the author. And there's a reason for that. I have what I call a sales equation in my head. And this is my sales equation. Who you are, what do you offer, why should I care? My show is about figuring out who you are as a person and as an author, right? And you just, so the angle I always do when I sell my books and or my podcast or anything like that is I'm Joshua Pantelaresco, who just so happens to have a book or happens to have a podcast, right? I'm me. I'm passionate about art, comics, pro wrestling. You know, I chase girls and sometimes I can't. I do fall, and I am legitimate. I talk about ice cream and Bailey's. I do health. Like, this is me. And I worry about me first. Right, I talk about who I am, and let's say like Doctor Who for you. Why do you love Doctor Who so much? Right, what hooked you? What grabbed you? Right, talk about that because in that you will come out because there's no way around that, and you will come out and you'll be the best you can possibly be, and then when people will feel that, and again, not everybody may want you. Again, you're not necessarily going to get people that will sell maybe your books right then and there, but they'll buy into you. And that's the real goal.
Right. Plus, it's a loss leader for people to see pictures of you on the panel or a video from you on the panel and know that you're available to do that type of thing for other events. I get a lot of residual work where somebody sees I was the guest speaker for this event, so therefore I can do this other one. A couple of days ago, I was a guest speaker for a political convention out here in Las Vegas. And not only am I, you know, not political, but I was just like, what the hell, I'll do it. I don't care. And when I was done, they were so impressed with me. I had two other offers to be involved as a speaker for political stuff. So, you know, I don't care, you know, have microphone and I like money. So whatever.
Well, I like those two things too. I just need to get plugged into the system for that.
But you know, a great panel for Katie would be at there's a lot of Doctor Who panels at San Diego Comic-Con. One of them, they debate who's the best doctor because there have been so many, and I guess now there's a woman doctor. So
coming this fall, she hasn't come out yet.
Yeah. So I mean, but. Like the point we're both getting at is it's again just about doing things and not being afraid to present yourself out there and not being afraid of and I know this is a big fear being afraid to look foolish. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, let's say it does go bad. You look foolish, completely foolish.
Speaking of Doctor Who, sorry. So since he was showing off his, I'll show off mine. You know who's going to be at Vegas Fan Fusion in September? Not the Doctor, but Captain Jack Harkness.
Ooh.
I don't even know who that is.
He's surrounded so by non-Doctor Who fans. Captain Jack.
He's lame.
I love how I say I don't know who it is, and she just repeats it. Yeah, I know. Like, that's going to...
Torchwood, does that ring a bell at all?
You just say it louder, Katie. He'll get it.
See, and I should be speaking on Doctor Who panels because I could go all day with it. In fact, when I do go to conventions, I tend to do that at the booth. I'll spend hours talking to people about Doctor Who or about Marvel, about, you know, just whatever, you know, we're all passionate about. I latch onto that and we'll have conversations that have nothing to do with the books I'm trying to sell.
What's the appeal for somebody who's never gotten into Doctor Who? What's the appeal, Katie?
Yeah.
Doctor Who is science fiction that doesn't take itself too seriously. It lets itself have fun.
Okay.
It's very whimsical science fiction. And it is fun. And I enjoy the show, but it also frustrates me a little because it's not hard science fiction, and it's not even soft science fiction. It's complete fluff.
It's Monty Python science fiction.
Yes.
Oh, I've never heard that before. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's really enjoyable, but I'm always wanting a little bit more concrete answers to things, you know, a little bit more science behind stuff. And I never get it. And then I always wait for it the next episode and I never get it, but it's an enjoyable show. You get hooked on the characters, I think, more than anything.
And because the Doctor changes, there's a lot of people who latch on to certain doctors and they love that doctor versus another doctor. But it was actually kind of an ingenious way to keep the show running by having the Doctor change every so often, because you can breathe fresh life into a show after, you know, three or four seasons, and it becomes a brand new show again.
Yeah, it's a great jumping on point for people. It's actually really, yeah, it is really clever.
You know what I need is a panel that's either on animals, 90s alt rock, or Marvel movies.
See, Marvel movies, dude. There you go.
Yeah. But then I'd run into the real Marvel nerds who actually know way more than I do. I'm just a movie fan.
So?
But then you learn from them.
Yeah.
and plus, you're allowed to have an opinion. I mean, that's part of the fun. You know, there's a lot of duking out and debating at Comic Cons. Like, for example, you know, let's not go down this road, but I'll just throw it out there. One of my opinions that I've had knockdown dragouts, I hate the Nolan Batmans.
Nolan Batmans. Who's Nolan?
Wow, that's a hard line to take, too.
Christopher Nolan, Batman Rises. And I can see why you hate him. I like him, but I can see why you hate him.
Wait, who are we talking about again?
Christian Bale Batman movies. The overrated, overdramatized, completely.
Batman Begins, the Dark Knight Rises, and Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Okay. I will be honest. I like those ones because I thought it was kind of a fresh take on it, but they were so dark that I only watched each of them once. And I won't watch them again.
It insults my intelligence how bad the plot layout is, and given the opportunity, I break it down. Like I'll take any one of the movies and I'll point out, you know, 10 inconsistencies.
Now, is there a Batman movie that you did enjoy?
Well, yeah. Well, not a. Well, I mean, I Michael Keaton was okay, and you know, as far as what it was, but as far as fun, I'll tell you, the older I get, the more I appreciate the Adam West TV show. Oh, I just loved fun, silly, zany, over the top, bookworm, King Tut, fun.
What? Because Adam West, you could tell he was having fun with it. Like you could tell. Like he was like, I'm here. This is a show. I'm gonna have a blast doing this. I don't care what I'm given. I will make it work. And you know what? It still holds up. It's corny as hell, but it still holds up.
Purposely.
That's like, Doctor Who right there.
The building and stuff. It's just fun.
Then he would probably like Doctor Who. But you have to start with the Christopher Eccleston episodes. If you're going to start anywhere, that's the best place for a new viewer to start.
The only Doctor Who episode I've ever seen was the one with the devil. I watched that one, the big giant devil.
Oh, so you saw David Tennant.
I saw the devil. So the point is, you don't have to be an expert to have an opinion. If you are a fan of something, you already know more than the average person on the street, and you have an opinion, and that makes it interesting because there are other people out there who might have only heard in passing about something that you're a fan of. And, for Josh, podcasting, I'm sure even though Adam Carolla and Joe Rogan and Mark Maron have these giant empires, there are still some people who are like, pod what? How do I get that? What TV station are you on? Like, not everybody is up to snuff.
Yeah.
Well, and Jason, you are our podcast expert because you're the one that turned the show into a podcast as well.
Yes, I'm not behind on that. Good. I was just thinking, man, am I behind on that? No, I'm not.
Are you?
No, I don't think I am. No, but I have another question for you. Another getting your foot in the door question for any of you, really. And Katie, I think you've actually spoke about this before. So say Grand Rapids Comic-Con is coming to town, because Grand Rapids does have a Comic-Con. It is very small. I don't think there is a huge attendance at all. But if I were to go somewhere to get my feet wet, so to speak, in the kiddie pool of Comic-Cons, that would be a good place to start. But how do I start? What do I do? I go on the website. Do I sign up to as a vendor, or do I email them and say, hey, I'd like to be on a panel? What is the first step?
Okay. What's your goal? Because you're.
I've got to go from the comfort zone circle to the magic circle.
Okay. Specifically, what magic are you trying to perform?
Yeah.
I don't know what magic I'm trying to perform.
So let me give you an example. My first convention here was Calgary Comic Con. I was a vendor. I became a vendor. I wasn't interested in getting panels out. I was interested in just trying to get my product out as much as possible.
I'm not worried about selling paperback. Selling books is always great, but I'm more interested in making connections.
So
I think that a good connection is going to be far more valuable than selling half a dozen paperbacks.
I would. Well, do you know when's the convention?
No idea.
Okay.
I'm just throwing this out there as a hypothetical.
Okay. Assuming the convention's a few months away, let's say 6 months out, I would try to talk to the organ. I would try to find whoever organizes the event, and I would pitch a panel. If it's early enough, you can do that. If they're past that point where the panels are, if let's say it's 3 months out, usually by that point their panels are pretty set, right? So you can get yourself on one. If that, and again, it depends how close you are. If it's closer, you go. If it's like a cheap, like let's say the table hypothetically is $50. Hypothetically, there are worse ways of spending your money, right? And you can go out there, you can interact with people, right? It really depends on how much time you have, and it, again, what your goals are. So if you want to meet people, let's say you got to go find whoever organizes the event, whoever's the event coordinator, pitch something. You got nothing to lose, right? Worst case scenario, you don't hear back from them. Okay.
Now, where do you find the event coordinator?
Usually on website.
Contact info. Look their contact me's.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's usually contact info like on the con's websites. They'll show you where the contact and where their emails are. Sometimes there's social media too, depending on the con. And that's where you start. You introduce yourself.
Okay.
Now, Jason, you're still coming to Phoenix with us next year, right?
Yeah. Yeah. End of May, isn't it? Or beginning of May?
Yeah. Memorial weekend. That'll be an interesting one for you, too, because that's a pretty decent sized event.
Have you got us all signed up for any panels yet?
No. Jenna books the table, and panels are kind of up in the air. It's, again, trying to reach out and talk to people. I'm working on making a connection with one of the coordinators right now who's also doing Vegas Fan Fusion. So if I can get a good connection with him and maybe show him how I can do panels here, maybe then for next year in Phoenix, then I can kind of use that to get a panel set up in Phoenix.
Tim, you look like you want to say something.
Oh, I had somebody trying to call me twice. There's a pool party I'm invited to, but I'm on my cell phone. So she just tried to call me and I ignored it. And she called me back and I ignored it again. And so I was just thinking, she's probably like, asshole. I'm like, no, I'm a little busy, you know, so anyway.
She's going to be blowing up your phone.
Yeah. But to go to the thing you were just talking about, your media by having this show. So at the very least, I would apply for a media pass. And then you walking around with your business cards, talking to people, you know, offering them to come on your show is already enough of an excuse to get you in there as media. And then, you know, by being media with a media pass, people are going to want to talk to you. Hey, what do you have? What do you, because it's all, what can you do for them? And then it's the old, you know, you help them, they help you. Maybe somebody you invite on our show is putting together their own panel. I am. So, you know, they're able to, you know, get your ass down here to California or Las Vegas. I'll put you on something.
Okay.
Actually, I had an idea. I just had an idea for both Katie and Jason, since you're at Phoenix next year. Why don't you do a Spilling Ink show live?
Yeah!
I'm serious. I'm actually serious about that.
I don't know if Katie would allow it, because from what Katie said, from how she describes it, it is a grueling sales process where we're all stuck behind a table for 18 hours a day. That's the description I've gotten.
Cracking the whip, man. Cracking the whip. No, it's not an 18-hour day of sales. But yeah, I do like the idea of maybe wandering through the artist alley and the author alley with the camera and doing like a live random interview.
Yeah. Well, or even go like one step further. Why not make it pitch it as a panel? So you actually do a 1-hour show there live.
Yes.
Right.
I'm on the same page with Josh. They have side rooms and they need events. Offer to do Spilling Ink live in a side room for an hour. You'll get an audience. You'll get people to interview on the show, and it's live on location. And what will happen is you offered that to the convention, but there are going to be people who approach you and say, how much does it cost us to have you at our event? And that's when you start making money.
Yeah.
I like this idea a lot, guys. I like where this is going now, but who would we interview? We would just interview people are there.
Okay, so this goes back to the fact that you've done so many episodes already. You know where people live because you have had them on the show. And so you're like, who is in Phoenix that you know that would happy to come on a show, make an ass of themselves for an hour?
We do know some people from the local Phoenix area who will most likely.
Exactly.
Again.
That's not a hard question to answer. The trick is the logistics of, okay, are you going to record the show? Because that would be cool too if you could, right? But even if you didn't, right? Like, you figure out those logistics. You guys go up there, you introduce yourselves. Hi, I'm Jason Lavelle. Hi, I'm Katie Salates. And no liquid courage, Katie. Whatever you do, no liquid courage before you go on the show.
Are you sure? I mean, because it always helps. Yeah. I'm not responsible for anything that comes out of my mouth afterwards, though.
And what you do is, okay, you guys choose a topic. Like, okay, you can make it like a new writer friendly. You can make it like, depending on what your guests are, right? What are they good at? And then you structure your show accordingly. And when you do that, right, suddenly you have.
Now, how do we pitch this to the convention, though? Because what do we say? You know, we're this show, and we're going to have authors, and people can watch them during the interview.
So, Kate, I think it would be Katie. I think would be the one doing this primarily because she's already there. Okay, I have this show where I interview authors about different aspects of the publishing industry. Really simple, right? And I would like to do a show where I would get guests, a couple guests, maybe two people like you normally do here, maybe more because you do have that option as well, right? You make this a fun little panel style show, right? And then you go out there, and go, okay, and then you talk to your guests. We'll figure out what the actual content is there. But say it'll be something to do with publishing. Our target audience is friendly, right? That might actually probably be an easy way to get started. You have an angle to start with. And then you guys introduce yourselves, introduce your guests. Done.
They want these types of things at the event. So all you have to do is just take the initiative, because they have empty rooms where they're like, you know, we need things. So you're helping them. Everybody wins.
Yeah. I'm doing this now with When Words Collide. The other thing I'm doing is I'm doing a live podcast there. Why not? I'll have an hour to go introduce myself, bring people in fun. Right. Bring some guests up there. Right. I'm probably going to be playing my board game there. I accidentally invented a board game. So I'll be testing it there. And that's kind of the plan for the show. But again, I can do that. And that's the other thing, too. Like, you have this opportunity with a live audience, right, to make this more interactive in a way you can't quite do here. And it'll feel very different, and you'll have a lot of fun. And that's the important part.
I love it. Katie, I feel like this is really a good idea. I feel like we should pursue this.
I'm on board with it. I say we pitch it to our group that's going with us, because we already have guaranteed authors coming.
Yeah.
And yeah, we know a few from the Phoenix area. We could bring on a full panel and do a live show. We could live stream it.
Yeah.
We could, find a way to get everybody on
The only precaution I'm going to warn you on this. This is the only thing I might warn, because this does get a little hazy. Video recording a panel might require special permissions. I'm not quite sure. It depends. Some conventions are a little more sensitive about that than others. But problem.
Well, and it's something that if it's an issue, they'll let us know as we pitch it, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I mean, I mean, you have a vehicle. Use it.
I like that a lot. That's a very good idea. I'm not sure what the Wi-Fi situation is like in a convention. I don't know if we can stream live, but we could definitely record.
Yeah, definitely.
You can definitely record live. You can do the Wi-Fi. You're literally in the land of geek, sir. So they've done things way more than what you're thinking. They're doing green screen in the room next to you, okay?
No shit.
I think you'll be able to record live.
I think we can figure the logistics out on it, but yeah, it would be great. And then we've got live audience participation asking questions of the authors.
Yeah.
And if we pitch it as a new author-friendly show, we're aiming at the people that are already attending the writer track panels, you know, learn how to write this, learn how to write that.
Yeah.
It would be a perfect fit with that.
Yeah.
I love it. I feel like this is a winning idea, Katie. We got to do this. And then we could get hired to go do other conventions, and I would get to leave the house now and again. I like it.
And going back to Tim's circles of comfort zone and where the magic happens, you'll find that they'll merge a little bit closer together.
I hope so. Well, Tim, I need to go and see or be involved with a panel with you, because you would be awesome to be up with.
You can't say that just because you like me as a person. I might be the worst panel you've ever seen.
Oh my God.
Me as a person are completely different.
He just might be talking about Morbius for an hour.
I will.
Homework assignment.
Morbius.
Tim, you need to get yourself recorded at SDCC for your panel so that we can do homework research on you.
Doctor Strange is right here.
Yes.
I'm not crazy about the new comic. I tried it. I couldn't do it.
Oh my!
I really wanted to, because I like Doctor Strange, but eh.
I love Constantine. Look, it's Constantine.
You know, I have yet to watch Constantine. I really need to catch up on that one.
Justice League Dark. It's the greatest thing ever.
Are you talking about Keanu Reeves' Constantine or a different Constantine?
TV shows and cartoons. I haven't watched any of them.
It was a movie that was loosely based on the material. But if you've ever read the Hellblazer comic books, specifically Mike Carey's run, it's amazing. It's so damn good.
actually, Hellblazer is probably what Vertigo's best kept secret, because almost every major comic writer on some point has been on that run. Neil Gaiman's done it. Grant Morrison's done it. Garth Ennis has done it. It's like a lot of people cut their teeth with that book. It is an amazing, like, pick your author, pick your run. It's amazing.
All right. Yeah. We are coming to the end of our time here. Do you guys want to say anything specific to the audience? Any books you want to promote? Well, we've got, I think, 4 more minutes.
Let me point out that girl who wants me to go to her party. She just texted me, "Why do you keep sending me to voicemail? That's so rude." So I literally just had to text her, "I'm in a show right now."
Yes.
So Tim attracts crazy. Got it.
So I want to know, even though we briefly mentioned it at the beginning of the show, about each of you guys' new releases. And Josh, I know that you just had one come out. Could you tell us a little bit more about your newest release?
I think show is better than telling. Just give me a minute. Go with Tim first.
Okay. Tim.
Yo.
You haven't released anything yet. You've got something coming out soon, though, right?
That's not fair to say. That makes me sound like a real poopsicle. No. I have things out. I have short stories and anthologies. I'm in Hell Comes to Hollywood 2 and 18 Wheels of Horror and Chicken Soup for the Soul, Random Acts of Kindness, and Halloween Tales. So I have stuff out, and I've written for magazines and all that. But as far as full-length novels, my very first 3 come out immediately. They could come out on Monday. I have a little ISBN snafu I'm dealing with. I have Modern Madness, which is a collection of all my horror short stories. I have Modern Madness 2, The Screaming Virgins, where I get a bunch of horror writers who haven't – some of them have had amazing success. One of them is a Bram Stoker Award winner, and she won the Stabby from Reddit. But a lot of the other ones have never had anything published before. So I wanted to push them out of their comfort zone and actually publish them and pay them so they get paid. I acquire the story. I put it out. I take the ownership. If it doesn't sell any copies, they still get some shekels. And so anyway, it's called Modern Madness 2, The Screaming Virgins. And then I have a full-length bizarro, disgusting, grotesque, horrible demon novel called Soul Trader, which is about in hell, if you say that you'd sell your soul for something, they get a lead. It's like a sales room. And so they send a demon to sell you on your soul, and you have 7 days to change your mind. Well, one of the demons is not happy with his lot in life and decides when he comes to Earth and the girl sells him her soul, instead of taking the soul back to Earth, he's going to eat it. So now he has a soul, and you can't kick him off of Earth. So heaven freaks out and hell freaks out, and nobody knows what the hell to do because you got a demon walking the earth with a soul. What are you going to do?
Yes. See, this is why I want to hang out with this guy. All right, Josh.
Okay, so I'll talk about my book first. This book here is called The Wandering God. So this is the third and final book of the Watcher Trilogy. Now, in the books 1 and 2 of the Watcher Trilogy, I talk about flying saucers, the wandering god, and dragons. And this book explains the link between the Watcher, the main character in the series. Here's a voice in his head that goes, "Help me." And in it, he has a vision of a city at the end of the world. There, him and his friends go on their final post-apocalyptic journey. They go try to rescue the wandering god before the dragons find them first. Last book in the series. Really proud of it. There's some cool illustrations by Florence Chan. Publisher is Mirror World Publishing. Right, you can find this wherever books are sold, brick and mortar or electronic. This is the Unicorn Farting Out, my podcast here. Just Joshing is a podcast that airs 2 episodes a week, more often than not. I interview various authors. My current episodes deal with the Sultry and Sweet Summer Reading Festival, where I interviewed various members of the Alberta Romantic Writers Association. So it was a lot of fun to do. I had a blast doing it. So, and that is what I'm doing right now.
And very soon you're going to have an extra special author on in another week or two. Aren't you coming on the show?
I don't know how my tattoos at school. So when I do interviews, I don't have prep anymore. I've been doing interviews for so long, I don't really worry about it. I know what I'm going to say. We'll figure this out as we go. So Jason's like, "What are we going to talk about?" "I'll figure out when we get there." I don't know. It's like, Again, comfort zone happens. We're going to merge them.
That's quite a change. I'm one of the hats I wear because of all the stuff is I'm a publicist and I get hired by writers to help get their stuff out. And it's interesting you say that about flying by the seat of your pants because I've been booking them on a lot of podcasts and the podcast guys will go into detail about exactly what they want to talk about and, you know, all this research and all this kind of. So that's kind of cool that, you know, you could just kick back and be like, yeah, whatever happens, happens.
That's kind of how we do Spilling Ink. I mean, Jason will usually send me a message the day of the show. What are we talking about today? And I'm like, peanut butter. I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
Well, okay. So I think the big theme, me and Tim have definitely both brushed back and forth on this, besides the comfort zone thing, has been about authenticity, right? And there's this. The thing is, the more structured you are, like some structures require, like some decisions have to be made when you do something like this. But once those decisions are made, the most organic stuff is the stuff that's not planned. You know, like Tim doing his Morbius cheer is like, that was awesome. Like I love that. But again, you don't plan stuff like that. It just comes and it goes. If you do a podcast where it's so regimented, it doesn't feel real. So I don't want to do that.
We don't have a plan. We tend to get sidetracked.
Yeah.
You can squeeze the fun out of something. I was a stand-up comic in LA as one of the things I did. And, you know, if my set was too trimmed up, I'm thinking about the next thing I'm going to say. And it's not fun. It's not for me. It's not fun for the audience.
It's uncomfortable. It's just totally uncomfortable.
Because they're being played. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, set up, punch, call back, tag. All right, thanks. And I'm just, it's not fun. I don't enjoy it.
Yeah. So yeah, anyway, so Jason, I'm looking forward to talking to you. It's gonna be fun.
I'm trying to keep my anxiety level down about it, not having a plan.
Well, would you like me to tell you what my only guarantee question I'm going to ask you is? I'll ask you. This is a good way to do this. Would you like to hear it?
Something about Darkwing Duck.
No.
Oh, okay.
I always say yes. I turn the recorder on. If there's anything incriminating you'd like to say, make it good.
I'll have to think of some good stuff.
That's it.
You want to know where the bodies are buried?
Hey, listen,
he's got a big backyard.
It's back on. All right, I got listeners. I it's got to be good stuff. At least clubbing baby CeeLo. At least.
Oh Lord. Well, you guys have been a blast to have on, as you always are. We really thank you for joining us again on another episode of Spilling Ink. And Katie, do you have any end of the night things you wanted to tell us?
No, not really. Other than, again, I got to pitch my books. This one comes out next week.
And that's Amy Pond from Doctor Who, season 5, 6, 7.
It does look a lot like her, doesn't it?
It does. I love that girl. She's great. But no, and I don't have anything new coming out until September, but September, October, November, I'll have a new novel releasing each month. So I'll have lots to talk about this fall. But
yes, we've got to find out how your publishing journey's been going.
Yeah, we'll see. Fingers are crossed, and I'm doing a couple of co-writing projects right now too. So hopefully those will go well and they'll find homes. And I've got all these short stories I need to find homes for too, but I'm going to have to chat with Tim more about that since he seems to know lots about short fiction.
Can I toot my own horn for 1 second?
All right. Well, you've been tooting your own horn for an hour, but okay, keep going.
How dare you? Listen, as far as short stories go, this is my, you might not agree, but this is how I've done my short story stuff. I never get inspired and write a short story and then say, where am I going to put it? I have always been the guy who gets paid to write a short story. So I'm the guy who will approach somebody who's doing a vampire anthology and say, I can write a good vampire story. Pay me. And once they agree to my idea, I write it and I get paid. I've never been the guy with a stack of stories not knowing what to do with them, because I don't do it unless I'm going to get paid. So whether that's a dick move or a smart move, that's up to you.
But I applaud you. Smart. I think that's actually really smart.
It's smart if you can pull it off. You got to have the credentials, I think, though, to do it. And you've definitely got
the credentials. If there's one thing you should learn from today, it's that you already have the credentials. Credentials are bullshit. Just say that you have them and you have them.
Kim, you need to be our life coach. Do it.
He'd be the scariest but most fun life coach ever. I mean, I'd be terrified every morning to wake up and look at him.
How dare you?
All right. Well, we've got to go tonight, guys. Thank you so much for coming on. And Katie, it was great to see you again and to chat with you. And to everyone else out there, thanks for joining us on another episode of Spilling Ink. Have a good night, everybody.
Woof! Woof, woof, woof! Woof!
Thank you for listening to Spilling Ink.